Are Canadians better than us? A new Harvard study proves that in at least one major area, our friends from the Great White North are far superior. What do Canadians outshine us in? What category? It's a category of being human. What are they better? And by the way, don't say hockey. Because that's true, but that's not what this survey was about. What are Canadians better than Americans at? And it's pretty important. And I was surprised that Americans don't live up.
Are they more environmentally conscious about their vehicles? Do they have higher emission standards than we do here in the States?
1-800-252-1025. 1-800-252-1025. This will be the third Winner Gets Dinner we've done today. We have enough coupons, right? All right. They just come, you know, they come in bunches. We don't plan these things. In fact, we don't plan anything. What are Canadians better at than Americans? And it's not hockey. And it's not necessarily so much better. Well, statistically, their country kicks our butt. And it's something that I'm a little surprised about. What a Canadian... And by the way, when you mention pollution, they don't. Now, they may have more forest that they haven't cut down.
Right.
They may have more pristine waters because they've got, you know, nobody cares about their waters way up there where it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
We care.
Well, we're just using more of our country than they are.
We're using more of our... We're putting our country to good use.
Right, exactly.
And we certainly kick their butts in business. Their taxes are higher than ours, so don't even bother to go there. When it comes to pollution... For example, I'm a boater. In Canadian waters, you can let that raw sewage fly. They don't care.
Really?
Yeah. They're not better at pollution than ours. I don't know about pollution standards. You know, I haven't read anything. I don't know any facts.
But I bet if they're using less cars on the road, well, they probably don't care as much.
There's just less density, so they can pollute at will, I'm pretty sure. Yes, Eric.
Well, also, if you recall, the city of Victoria, B.C., dumped their sewage directly into the Strait of Juan de Fuca.
They do. They just dump. They can. And we used to, hundreds of years ago, even 50 years ago, before we had an EPA, because we just figured it was nature.
And you better not club a baby seal down at the sea lion caves or in Cannon Beach. I mean, we don't club seals like they do.
They can club baby seals.
Yeah.
So they're better at clubbing baby seals than us, but that's not it.
Nobody gets dinner for that guess.
No.
Uh-uh.
It has to be the things we're looking at, and it's a general category where the Canadians basically kick our butts. And it's disappointing that they kick our butts, by the way, and I think we should feel, threatened, but disappointed in ourselves that we're not doing better as Americans.
Okay.
Because, you know, America needs to be the best at everything. America needs to beat the world at everything. We need to be the unbeatable, beat the world country.
Biggest dog in the yard. This should be a wake-up call for America, that's for sure.
It should be a wake-up call. That's a good. That's another good clue. 1-800-252-1025. To Blake we go. What are Canadians much better at than Americans?
Oh, every Canadian citizen has full coverage insurance, medical.
They do have health care. If you talk to Canadians, and I'd love to just randomly call Canadians, most of the ones I know about complain about their socialized health care. They say it sucks. And they say if anything really bad went wrong, they would drive to one of our healthcare mall places ahead of their own place.
Wow.
So
that's no ringing endorsement.
But if you want to say technically their government gives them something for free, our government doesn't give them, that's true. But their taxes are also higher,
they're paying through the bloody nose for it.
Right. So it's close in a way, but not the answer. What are the Canadians better at than Americans? U.S. Americans, of course. They're in America. They will remind you every once in a while, except they're generally shy and not confrontational. Mark.
I think it's technology, Bob.
Technology?
Better way to tap syrup out of a tree?
What's that?
Illustrate. What do you mean technology?
I think they're ahead of us in developing new technologies.
Such as?
Oh, I didn't know I had to be so specific.
Oh, you could just make a random guess that made no sense and maybe win. All right, well, you
cool.
can.
Cool.
Okay.
It's not technology, though. Sorry, Mark. Yeah, technology.
I can skin a beaver without cutting the pelt, just reach in down its throat, grab its tail from the inside, and pull.
Now, all their technology comes from U.S., Japan, and other countries that make... I don't think Canadians have made one VCR in their entire history. I don't know if we have either. Rick, what do you think Canadians are better at than us?
Bob, I'm going with alcohol consumption.
I think
there's some serious power drinkers.
And we should be ashamed that we're not up to their level.
So tip it up, America.
Lord knows we've tried, but I don't think we can.
Sorry, Rick. 1-800-252-1025. Joe is in Montlake Terrace. Joe.
Hi, Bob.
What do you think?
Coming with that alcohol consumption thing, after that would be recycling.
Do Canadians recycle better than us? The answer, I don't know. But that's not what the answer we're looking for. I think I'm going to ask my Canadian friend. Get Ben on the phone if you could. I think not, because I think we have more regulations here. I mean, I actually went to throw some trash away the other day, and the nerve of the government to tell me that I had to recycle. I mean, I like recycle when it's voluntary. And it shows you're a better person than everybody else. Did you volunteer to do it? They actually had a thing that saying they wouldn't take my trash unless I separated. And I don't think Canadians have those kinds of oppressive regulations. But we'll find out. It's not that. Gordon is in Portland. Gordon, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think Canadians are better at than the United States?
Education.
You would say education?
Yes.
That's not the answer we're looking for, but I'd be curious... if you have anything to back that up.
Yeah, we have far higher standards, and we also, the government funds the education much better than the American government does.
Really?
Yeah.
But how many bunker buster bombs do they have in reserve, huh? Where were they to help us out?
They
sent like three canoes and five guys on horses. Canadian education, what do you know about that, John?
Not much, except Gordon, you say we. Are you one of them?
I am one of them.
You're in Portland.
What's a Canuck doing in Portland, huh?
We're enjoying your country.
You got great peeler bars up there. Why are you going down to Portland for?
That's true, right?
All right, Gordo.
Thank you, Gordon.
I should have known a name like Gordon.
Jeff is in Bellevue. Jeff.
Yes, I've got the answer.
You have the answer? What do you think it is?
Americans are 42% more likely than Canadians to have diabetes, 32% more likely to have high blood pressure, and 12% more likely to have arthritis.
It is medical conditions such as those. Yes, that's the correct answer.
Wow. You
read the news story, right? That wasn't like a wild guess.
Nope.
Got my head spitballing here, Bob. Fall apart again.
All right. It's true. They're beating us in health. Now, does that mean that their socialized health care is the reason?
Could be, yeah.
A. Are you Canadian?
No.
So, Jeff, why do you think, and anybody else, why do you think Canadians are healthier than we are?
Most likely because they eat better. I mean, we in America, all of our food, or a lot of it is already processed, pre-done, pre-packaged.
So you think like a Canadian is taking a walk by the stream and he sees a bear with a salmon and he wrestles the bear, takes the salmon away from
him. I've seen the
commercial. That's what
really
I thought
good.
Too.
Want some syrup? Tap a tree.
You think they're tapping trees for syrup and they're living on more whole foods than we are?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the majority of women in Canada know how to cook a good dinner.
Better than American women.
Oh,
wow, I like that.
Yeah.
So, because our women are out working to have two incomes and enjoy all of the
dinner.
Yeah.
They order out pizza, or they get takeout, the Chinese food, hungries.
You're going to get some McCormick and Schmick's dinner, by the way, and it'll be some fine, fancy eating, and I expect you to order something healthy. Hang on. That's Jeff. He's our winner. Yes. The callers are still calling. Why are Canadians healthier than we are? I'd be interested in your theories when it comes to arthritis, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Americans are idiots. Well, we get it more often.
Are all those afflictions related to obesity? Are all? I mean, every one of those, to me, sounds like it's an obesity issue.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, yeah. And arthritis.
You're moving around a fatter body, your joints give up sooner, right?
Why do you think the Canadians do better than us? Is it Daniel? Daniel, go ahead.
I think it's because the medication's cheaper, so that they don't have that lack of need for the medication there. They want more.
You think it's the cheap prescription drugs? Cheap. So you think prescription drugs are keeping them healthier? So we need more prescription drugs. We don't have enough prescription drugs in this country? Last time I saw any sporting event on TV, it was telling me to ask my doctor. And by the way, my doctor always says yes.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's a go-to guy.
Is this right for me?
Yes.
Yes, they sent me to
go fishing. Hurry up.
They sent me on a fishing trip last month. It's definitely right for you.
Oh, man.
You think the medication is cheaper and it's all those chemicals they're pouring in their bodies prescription-wise that are keeping them healthier?
Not necessarily, but they're less afraid to go on medication for things like that.
All right, we're afraid of medication in this country.
Well, Americans can't afford medication. The elderly, they got to drive buses up to
up to Canada.
Border, yeah.
All right, Renee, why do you think the Canadians are healthier than we are?
Well, I think they can't afford to overindulge with all the high taxes that they pay.
The high taxes cause them to not be able to go to restaurants.
They have far less disposable income, and therefore they can't indulge.
Thank you. Mindy is in Hillsboro, Oregon. Mindy, hello. Why are Canadians healthier than us in the U.S.?
Well, I think it's because they all have farms out there, and there's all rural land, and nobody does anything but the wives sit around and cook fresh meat. And so, in theory, there's no hormones or anything injected into their beef.
So if they had cities like we did, they wouldn't be as healthy like we are.
Yes.
Bob's laughing, but it's something truth to that. There's a lot more agricultural lifestyles in Canada than there are in the U.S.
I do think they eat less processed food. I do. They eat salted meat and stuff like that because they store it in these big barrels and break them out of the garage.
Yeah, I do have a cousin that lives up there, and I mean, everyone has a farmer. Everybody knows somebody that they can get meat from.
And they eat more vegetables, more whole foods than us.
Yeah, they have a lot of farms where they grow all their own stuff.
Let's ask a Canadian listening to us from Victoria, British Columbia. Murray, why are Canadians healthier than U.S. citizens?
I think it's just because of the numbers. There's less Canadians than there are Americans.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You're saying that, you know, we eat better. But if you look at the numbers, like you put us on a chart, there's a lot less Canadians than there are Americans.
Well, we know that. We could take you in a weekend. We already know that.
Yes, you're our protector. We know that.
Yes, it would be one of Clinton's wars. We'll be in on Friday. Yeah. We'll be out by Sunday. And mission will be accomplished.
Yes, sir.
No, it's not that, because this is a survey that says the average Canadian per population is Americans are 42% more likely than Canadians to have diabetes. That means if you have 100 Canadians and 100 Americans, 42% more Americans will have diabetes. So then the survey took population into account.
Well, it's not the cooking, because I cook more than my wife does. So we don't all go to farms. We still go to Safeway and Costco and everything else. So anyway, I'll let somebody else take over.
Well, Murray, you're a genuine Canadian, and we have you on the phone. Don't go so fast.
Okay.
What do you think of your socialized health care?
You know, I like it because, yes, there's a lineup. Like, say you need a knee replacement or something, that you can have a year or 2 year wait.
Right.
But if something's really wrong, go to the hospital. You get repaired or fixed or whatever. You know.
Do they give you, Murray?
You'll get a pass today.
Do they give you a skateboard while you're waiting for your knee replacement?
No. Anyway, also I forgot. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Thank you.
Well, welcome.
First-time callers may crow like a rooster, may cluck like a chicken in Oregon, quack like a duck, or make whatever sound you think a beaver makes. Thank you, Murray.
Wonder how old Murray was. He sounded healthy. He didn't sound big.
Let's go to Nathan and Everett. Nathan.
Hey, Bob.
Yes. We have a real theory here. Why are Canadians, that's significant, 42% more likely to have diabetes in America. That's huge. What's your theory?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with what you said about businesses, how we're better than Canadians at business. And so it just has the economic growth theory with we're trying to produce so much food for all these people to get overweight. And in the long run, it makes McDonald's and whatnot that much larger.
But the Canadians have, see, you could say that, but the Canadians have McDonald's, they call it McDonald's A, if you've ever seen it. They have Costco, they have Safeway. I've been up there. Now, there seems to be less different kinds of foods. They don't have a lot of things that we have, mm-hmm. but they have probably 60-80% of what we have food-wise in their grocery stores. So I'm not sure if groceries would explain it. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, they eat donuts. Tim Hortons is everywhere. They love beer. I mean, they
Well, maybe more of us eat the junk than them, percentage-wise. They got it, but maybe more of them eat good stuff.
It's a good question. We have, because I want to know. Because, I mean, Canadians, they're easy to copy. If they're doing something right.
Just watch them do it, like hockey.
Do it just
watch
like,
them do it, bring it here.
That's right. We have another Canadian, Bree, from Victoria, British Columbia. Bree, hello.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that a big part of it is our air quality in Canada. Our cities are definitely fewer and more far between. And, yeah, I definitely agree with the farming to a certain degree, but a lot of our produce and stuff from the grocery store comes from Mexico and from the States, too. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of an overall lifestyle thing. We have a lot more kind of parks, woods, physical activity outside.
Right. And Bree, how ironic that you're talking to me about clean environment and air quality when Victoria, British Columbia flushes its raw sewage right at us in Seattle. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay.
You do know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't actually live in Victoria. I live in a small community about an hour outside of Victoria.
So is that to lead me to believe that one of your turds is not floating right outside in our harbor?
The brown trout are running, eh? All right.
We have an outhouse.
Oh, lumpfish.
All right, Bree. Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate you listening. Thank you. Smuggled our show over the border. 1-800-252-1025. I want to hear more of this. Canadians are kicking our butts. 42% more likely if you're American to have diabetes than Canadian. That's a monster statistic.
What else did you rattle off there?
32% more likely to have high blood pressure and 12% more likely to have arthritis.
Money Canada! Money Canada! With all their beady little eyes, a clapping head so full of lies. Money Canada! Money Canada!
Blaming Canada. I think actually we should be very envious. Canada has a healthier population than we do. 42% more diabetes in the United States. 32% more high blood pressure. You know, Clinton should have invaded Canada when he had a chance. He wanted that health care program with Hillary.
by force.
We could have just taken Canada by force and enslaved their health care system and had them do double duty.
By any means necessary.
One thing you got to say, no matter what you say about Clinton, man, the dude always had an exit strategy. You know what I mean?
Quick, you'll have to leave. Take the pizza box and go.
Take your shirt, put it back on, down the hall, through the door, and past Fritz, the discreet, friendly Secret Service agent over there, into that waiting car. Why are the Canadians healthier than us? I'm willing to hear your theories. I don't think we've got anybody who really knows. Did it say in the article, John?
Well, I have some theories. For one, these are statistics. I mean, you can interpret statistics a lot of ways. Us, being me, you, and Spike, we might be about the same as the average Canadian because we have a job, we have health insurance. Everybody in Canada is about the same on the health scale. They have similar incomes, they have similar health opportunities. There's a lot of poor people eating government cheese and getting fat in America that don't have any health insurance. So if you poll a lot of the less fortunate.
So even though the Canadians, a lot of them don't like their health insurance, the fact that they all have it pulls up the poor people, and so we're seeing the poor people are skewing our numbers.
Right. There's more of a median in Canada, so that may be.
You think it's because we need socialized medicine?
I didn't say that we need it.
Come on, Joe. Come on.
If we want to be healthier as a nation, we need to not let those uninsured people drag our
numbers. But I would say we need
it. Why are you afraid to say it, Joe?
Oh, I'm not afraid to say it. Right. I didn't say it, but I would say it.
Is it your diabetes that's keeping you from taking a stand here?
Because if it means we need socialized medicine, this is the best argument for it ever.
I think,
and you're supposed to be the big liberal here.
I think we need socialized food, socialized housing, socialized medicine
for everybody.
Yeah, at least in a country as great as ours, I think nobody should be cold, hungry, or sick.
Kid left behind.
I think we should be able to arrange Now, I'm not saying let's go crush a bunch of rocks and build some robots on the moon. I mean,
this guy was
no,
awesome.
You're not whacked out or anything.
No, I'm just saying, you know, anybody that's hungry ought to have some food, and anybody that's sick ought to have a doctor. Pills.
What about someone who's hungry because they're lazy? And I know a lot of people are hungry because they're trying real hard and they're not lazy, but if you set it up that way, then anybody could just basically stop working.
Become a welfare state, so to speak.
A lot of people in this country just laying back waiting for a check.
Got to be honest with you, I'd be tempted.
Well, it's out there for you if you want to lower your standards. I mean,
well, I need the government to pay for fuel for my plane.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that, are they?
It's a government fuel thing.
1-800-252-1025. Here's someone who lived in Canada and says he's heard misconception after misconception from every caller to the show so far, and probably from us too. Andy?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think there was some way to what I think Joe was saying, that the 70 million uninsured Americans are probably going to skew the results a little bit, because up there, you know, it is a burden on the healthcare system because everybody with a sniffle goes to the doctor.
But let me ask you, because let's take just one of those statistics. 42% higher diabetes. Now, as I understand diabetes, it's been on the upswing ever since high fructose corn syrup was introduced into our diets. And as I understand diabetes, you don't go to the doctor and he gives you an anti-diabetes pill and you never get diabetes. Mm-hmm. Diabetes is something you either get or you don't. I mean, does it have anything to do with being poor? That's a great question, and we're going to find an expert to talk about that. Eric is the closest we have now.
Actually, I think there is a correlation, because packaged foods are actually a lot cheaper than buying whole foods, right. And poor people can only afford to buy those foods, which do cause.
But it doesn't. Then it wouldn't have to do with the socialized health care. It would have to do with poor people eating crappier food. Why don't the Canadian poor people? Haven't they been hipped to the crappier food and how cheap it is?
Well, it could also have to do with the prices of whole foods. It's cheaper to buy whole foods in Canada, I think, than down here.
Good questions. Here is a Canadian, Michael, who says Americans are less healthy because...
Yeah, because I think the number one factor is soda pop.
You don't have soda pop.
Hello?
You don't have soda pop in Canada?
Well, we do have soda pop, but I remember when I I lived in Victoria for quite a while, and I met my wife, and I used to visit her in the States, and I'd walk into the grocery stores, and there were shrines to soda pop. And when we would visit family and relatives, they'd open up the refrigerator, and half the refrigerator was taken up with soda pop.
You're saying, I love this, because it's true. We Americans worship soda pop, and they actually make a shrine when you go into the grocery store.
Especially on the holidays.
It's an altar.
It's got everything but the candles and the newspaper clippings.
There's the Virgin Mary right on every can.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Michael. Next, we go to Jeremy. Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, this kind of goes along with what the last guy said. I think they're maybe a little more forthright in their advertising about the dangers of certain things. And I'm not really sure about food, but I know with cigarettes, in Montreal there's a pack that says smoking will kill your children. And I think I've seen one in Vancouver that has a picture of someone's really ugly teeth and rotted out gums. And so they still give them the choice to consume what they want, but maybe they tell them a little more about the dangers of it. Where here, our FDA, you know, according to them, Lucky Charms is part of a balanced breakfast.
I was in Canada last month, and I did notice the food labeling was more complete. that things where we just say natural flavors, or where we just say you don't need to know about those ingredients, they actually list them. And it was on a similar product, same product you could buy in the United States. And when I went to the United States the following Monday and bought the product, the label was missing all of those extra ingredients. Some of the things.
So maybe they're just a little more honest up there.
All right, thank you. We're about out of time, but a couple quickies. Elizabeth, go ahead. You just got one sentence.
Yes, I recognize their lifestyle. Their lifestyle's a little bit more laid back than ours here in America.
Thank you. David? Why are the Canadians healthier?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's because they actually have their social health care. They go to the doctor more often than we do, so they can catch those things earlier and actually plan to not get them.
So you catch that diabetes and you take a little diabetes pill and it goes away? I don't know. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, mine is the fact that the American food portion sizes are a lot larger when you go to restaurants than they are usually in Canada.
You're right.
The American size dinner.
Thank you. Kelly, go ahead.
Mine's kind of like the guy before. I was thinking it's not really what we eat, it's how much we eat. We gorge until we can't eat anymore. And then we sit around on our asses and then we eat some more.
Yeah,
that's my girl.
Downtown Joe has a habit that most of us don't have. He likes to read the tiny classified announcements in about five newspapers every morning. Joe goes to the announcements section where a lot of the times there are little announcements saying, hi, cutesy pootsy from Bugsy Wugsy.
Mm-hmm. I saw you on a bus.
And I want to meet you. And over the years, every once in a while, Joe will pull out an unusual tiny classified. And we will investigate this unusual tiny classified. By the way, I have to believe that Homeland Security reads the tiny classifieds.
I don't know. We never got an answer on the one we were.
Remember the one we thought was a signal for potentially some movement?
Some cell to take action, yeah.
We called Homeland Security. No call back. No attaboy, good job. Thanks for being a vigilant American. That's what it is, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Vigilant.
It takes a vigilant.
It takes a vigilant. And nothing. So this, however, is targeted at a specific individual, this ad. And here's what it reads. Caught Joe's eye. Bill Gates, in bold letters. Richest man in the world. Bill Gates, I've come to Seattle from New Zealand to speak to you. Now, I'm guessing that he's hoping this is a way to get past the receptionist.
Uh-huh. Or the dogs.
Right.
Wondered if he's tried the emailing Bill or, you know, anybody else.
I've come to Seattle from New Zealand. He's traveled halfway around the world to speak to Bill Gates. I believe I have a viable plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming issues, and more, in 15 years. Please contact me.
Wow.
And there's a New Zealand phone number. And this is in the tiny classified announcements.
In a few Northwest newspapers this week. You'll see it there.
And it's in a bunch of papers.
Do you think Bill Gates is cruising the classifieds looking for bargains, yard sales?
No, but people who know Bill Gates, you know, while they're waiting to be called on by him to do something, will probably, some way, well, he's finding out about it on this show. We have a huge Microsoft streaming, online listening people. Somebody who works for Microsoft in New Zealand is probably listening now and will call back to Redmond. That's the way the goofy internet works. Bill Gates, I've come from New Zealand to speak to you. I believe I have a viable plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming issues, and more, in 15 years. So here's our thinking on this. Why should Bill Gates have this info when we can call the guy? Hey, what if I had a plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming issues from this guy? He seems to be giving it up.
Right.
So we called him. He's on the phone with us right now. I do not know his name.
I do not either. And I don't think it's in the ad.
It's not in the ad. Let's welcome him to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello, what's your name?
My name's Ted Howard.
And you've come to the Northwest from New Zealand.
I have indeed.
And where are you right now? Are you in Seattle?
Right now, yeah, I'm in Seattle, just on the edge of Redmond.
Okay, on the edge of Redmond. They won't let you go into the Redmond city line?
Well, I went in yesterday, and I went into Microsoft's office, and I asked the receptionist if there was a process to speak to Bill Gates, and she said, no, but you can talk to security if you like.
As you leave?
So,
wait a minute. It took 8 seconds for them to go from Bill Gates to security.
Something like that.
Right.
So I spoke to about seven, very polite, very efficient, very professional security people, and I left the premises.
Did you tell them that you had a viable plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming and more?
I explained the plan in some detail. Took about, well, an overview. I spent about 15 minutes talking to them about it. It's got into the system at that end. I don't know if anything will happen, if it'll make its way up the chain or whether it'll just die in the bureaucracy, but...
Now, why Microsoft and why not maybe someone in even more need of better approval like George Bush? Why didn't you go to the White House?
Actually, I tried that too.
Before
I came to Seattle, I was in Washington.
Oh, and did you...
I tried to get through to the Pentagon and I tried to get through to the White House.
Did you run the same ad that you ran here?
Yeah.
You did. Same ad.
Yeah,
oh, no, I didn't run the ad over there. I just sort of tried contacting him on the internet and sort of going and to offices, and I wasn't exactly hopeful of a response, but I thought it was something I had to try before going to the next phase.
I don't even want to know what the next phase is just yet. But first, I want to know, because here we are. We've got a transmitter that covers all the way from Vancouver, British Columbia to Salem, Oregon. And you can tell all of the people listening right now, hundreds of thousands of people, your plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming issues and more in the next 15 years. Do you really have a plan, or are you like sort of playing a joke?
No, I really do have a plan.
Is it a workable plan?
I believe so. It's not simple by any stretch of the imagination. It would be the biggest programming task ever taken on, and has some serious engineering involved in it, too.
But it
why'd you bother George Bush with his plan?
Yeah. You know, unless it can be done in the amount of words it took to write...
From a ranch with a chainsaw.
Well, I'm not going to go there.
All right. Well, I was going to say, unless it could be done in the amount of words it took to write My Pet Goat, you're probably wasting your trip to Washington. All right.
A bit more respect for George Bush than that, but...
All right. Will this plan take more than a minute to tell us?
To tell you in detail, to tell you simply...
No, I don't have time for simply even. I've got to play these commercials. When we come back, will you give us your plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming?
Yeah, I can give you the two-minute version after that.
Is he a wacko? Is he a goofball? Is he a prankster? I'll let you be the judge. This gentleman who's on our phone, Ted Howard, is from New Zealand. He put an ad. First he went to Washington, D.C., tried to get into the White House. Then he put an ad in the newspaper, a tiny classified ad to Bill Gates, saying, I've come from New Zealand to speak to you. I have a viable plan to eliminate hunger, poverty, and global warming in 15 years. He's on the phone with us now. Ted Howard, hello.
Hello.
By the way, before we find out what your plan is, if you have no luck with Bill Gates, check up on Al Gore. He's not doing that much. He's kind of into this whole sort of thing.
Yeah, funnily enough, someone suggested that to me last night. But I think I'll take another approach.
Gates is your guy.
What's after Gates? Well,
Gates
has already shown him to security.
Making it available to everybody as like. Getting a large number of small investors rather than going for a few large ones.
Oh, so you're looking for money.
Well, any project of a size like this takes money to get it underway.
All right.
Just a fact of life.
Well, you're speaking to a huge audience now, so give me the two-minute pitch.
Well, the two-minute pitch is that what I'm planning on doing is producing a set of machines that are capable of using sunlight as an energy source and rock as a raw material. Take that rock apart to its component elements and reassemble it into a duplicate set of machines. So a self-replicating group of machines.
Self-replicating
group
machines. This sounds like totally up Bill Gates' take over the world alley, really.
Yeah, which is partly why I went to talk to him.
Sure, this guy will love this.
You've got the key to making it work is that you've got to also program the machines to be able to produce a basic range of goods and services.
as well as make a copy of themselves. So they need to be able to build and operate a house, build and operate hydroponic gardens for growing basic food supplies, communications network, electric vehicle for transport, and program it to train people up to master's level in any discipline in any language.
All right, let me back up a second because I want to make sure I got the foundation right. You can take sunlight, hit rock with it, and it'll create machines that'll be able to procreate.
Well, that's very much the shortened version, but yeah, you have to put things. You use solar cell arrays. Uh-huh. You use thin film mirrors. You use both amorphous and crystalline silica solar cells as part of the power elements. But basically, yeah, you're using sun energy from the sun.
Now, they may not call because it would be terribly irresponsible, but I know there's lots of people at Microsoft listening right now. This is science fiction to me. And there's also biotech people listening.
Backgrounds in the sort of biotech area. I trained as a biochemist.
There's guys in Beavertron who are listening, who are in the software business. I'm going to open up the phones because I can't say this guy is whacked. I want you guys to tell me, does he have something here? 1-800-252-1025. Or if you're a total geek nerd, I want you to interrogate Ted Howard about this. Sunlight, rocks, machines, reproduce. You see how I make the soundbite shorter every single time?
Yep.
And that's what you need, because the video, the DVD that you pass out for investors, they don't really want to know how it works, you know.
No, they just want to know what it's going to do.
And if it'll make them a lot of money.
It'll do that, all right.
And the bottom line is you're talking building robots that'll do everything we need them to do, including build more robots. And if they just keep building themselves, eventually we'll all have a robot.
It doesn't actually, once you build the first one, if it takes that 2 weeks to make a second one, inside 18 months, everyone, there's enough for one for everyone.
Here's our phone number. Anybody want to take this guy on? 1-800-252-1025. 1-800-252-1025. I'm sounding like a robot, aren't I? 1-800-252-1025.
If you think about it in terms of money and interest, this thing's capable of generating compound interest at the rate of 100% per month. Per fortnight. So,
and we haven't seen returns like that since the sock puppet reigned supreme.
Yeah.
Ted, does it got to be rocks? Because that's what makes me think it's a little off the mark. Because
well,
I mean, I get solar powered
machines. Of matter. Now, rock has like your basic sort of rock, the basaltic rock that you find most places, contains inside in elements aluminium, silicon, and oxygen as a major constituent, and a vast range of other minerals in very low quantities. But with aluminium, you've got a conductor and a structural material you can use for building. With silicon in the pure form, you've got an insulator. And
when you say
with very small quantities to make semiconductors and all the other things you need to make machines.
You thought this through.
When you say aluminium, you mean like the stuff they make aluminium boats out of? It's aluminum, right?
Yep.
Okay.
In your world.
It's how they say it in New Zealand.
It is.
Our first call is Corey from Vancouver, Washington. Corey, what do you think? Oh, shoot. You know what I did? I just hung up on the guy from New Zealand. He's not in New Zealand, so call him right back. Corey? Are you there, Corey?
I'm here.
I'm going to get him back in a second. But first, what do you think of Ted?
It's a pretty good show.
Solar-powered robots building solar-powered robots to grow food and build cars.
Hello?
Yes. What do you think of our guest?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing a lot of research right now into permaculture, and basically what I think of the guest and his whole philosophy on things is that he's offering a solution where we're going to be destroying the earth and building robots to help humans, where what we really need to be doing is learning how to live with the earth and use the resources that we have and what we can sustain ourselves with, rather than transforming
raw materials into robots.
So, Ted, he's saying that this would destroy the Earth. The Earth is made of rock. We're going to start machines that use rock, and we're going to start using up rock, and we'll have a rock shortage, and then we'll be dead.
Well, no, quite the opposite, actually. I did tell you it was the shortened version, and there's a lot more details to the project, but the plan calls for most of the replication to be done on the moon. So you make and test the first machine down here, and then you ship it up to the moon where it does all of the multiplication. And then you just bring the finished products back down here to Earth.
Well, without the
and
moon...
And all it would use is about an eighth of an inch of the dust off the surface of the moon. Like, you wouldn't notice it. It's a lot of material, but in terms of how big the moon is, it's not much material at all.
So, Corey, we're just going to use up the moon.
If that solves the problem of contamination on Earth, because, you know, if the chemicals from producing silicon solar cells, which contaminate water sources, aren't getting into our water table, then I guess that's a viable solution.
Okay, so you don't care about the moon. If the moon starts to look more and more like it's like Keith Richards' face, that's okay to you.
You won't notice the change in the moon.
But something cool.
Corey, thank you.
I didn't know they were space robots. Now I'm intrigued.
Let's get someone in Redmond because Bill Gates would not see Ted yesterday. Bill wouldn't see you. I can't believe it. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, I wanted to just pass along our thoughts over here at the Big M to our New Zealander friend and say, your heart's in the right place, but as far as the robots and the artificial intelligence, I think one of your biggest roadblocks is the limitation of artificial intelligence as an adaptive technology.
I'll make it really 100% clear. I am not talking artificial intelligence. I'm talking simple heuristic programs like that. Once these things get outside the domain they're programmed for, they will stop and simply ask for instructions from a human.
So they're going to be dumb as a washing machine.
They're going to have some very smart programs. They're going to be able to do some quite smart things, but they will not be intelligent in the sense of adaptive and learning. They will be... I think the idea of AI is actually one of the biggest dangers we face.
So you've seen Terminator.
That's not the problem, but there are real problems in the idea of bringing in intelligence into the world right now in its current state.
All right, Ted, let's let Alex respond to that. Alex?
So I guess what I was saying is, if I heard you correctly in your two-minute spiel, you want to make it so that the machines or the robots can build and engineer things for humans. Is that correct?
I think he said they would replicate themselves, so they would just make more of what...
And a limited range of products.
We don't want to give robots too much power, because we've seen what happens in Washington when that happens.
Well, good luck with that,
Good luck!
Services is great, but, boy, I'll tell you, the more we try and make the robots do what humans do, that's a serious limitation in adaptation.
Thank you, Alex. All right.
Agree with that.
And you agree with him on his basic premise, which most of us don't understand. Right. Mike, hello.
Yes.
You're on.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think Paul Allen's the one to speak to because he's got more of the scientific mind than Bill Gates has. That's my opinion anyway.
Sure. Yep. I would send you to a Trailblazers game, but there aren't any more.
Indeed, there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's into science fiction, then he's the one to talk to.
I'm fairly certain it's science fact, but it's pushing the boundaries a little.
1-800-252-1025. Tyler, go ahead.
Okay. Hi.
Yes, Tyler.
Hi. I was wondering, if you're creating life with machines, if you're making machines replicate themselves, wouldn't that, in a sense, be taking God's point of view or God's job,
That's God's job.
Creating life thing?
Duplicating things is God's job? Is Xerox infringing on God?
Well, but see, that's the thing, is if you're Xeroxing something, it's not 100% every time, and minute differences allow for modifications and changes.
Making a perfect copy.
Data.
Well, but if you're duplicating a music file, you're taking God's job. I mean, we're duplicating machines here, right, Ted?
Well,
yep. It's just like Toyota at the moment. They've got a factory in Japan where there's not a human being on the assembly plant. There's machines that do all the assembly, and there's other machines that tend the assembly machines and make sure they keep going.
They did recall a million cars today, too.
Yeah, well, that does happen.
Bad example.
It's going to take some time. There could be setbacks. Ted Howard, thank you very much. Good luck with your quest. Will you do us a favor and keep in touch with us since we did give you this airtime?
I will certainly keep you in the email loop. I've got two websites.
Right.
Like www.solnx.org.
Right.
You keep an eye on that one. It'll keep you updated with progress, but I've got an email contact, and I'll keep you in the loop.
All right. Thank you very much. Ted Howard went to Bill Gates' house. Not his house, but...
Ted, before you go, does this idea have to be your idea, or are you benevolent enough to give the idea to somebody who can make it work without you?
No, he wants money.
All I want to see is to have the thing come to fruition. Whether someone else does it, and I can go fishing and mountain biking, I would be a very happy chap.
Here she is, Catherine McPhee. Catherine McPhee on the phone with us from New York City. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Of all of the things that you got to do because you were on American Idol and did so well on American Idol, what was the most fun thing that wasn't American Idol?
Wasn't American Idol?
Hmm.
You mean while I was on the show?
You know, while or because you were on the show, you got to do so many things. You met people. You did news programs.
You know what? We really didn't get to do anything that didn't have to do with American Idol, to be honest, because we were so busy. And towards the end, we weren't allowed to go anywhere without security, which was, you know, a big issue. Because, you know, even if you wanted to go to dinner with your family, it was like you had to get the whole scheduling with security. So, I really don't have a good answer for that, to be honest. But Graceland was American Idol, and it was involved with American Idol. That was really fun for me.
That was fun. And do you have some admiration for Elvis?
I definitely do. I definitely do. I just don't want to sing his music.
That's okay.
I'd just rather have him sing it than me.
That's nice, Catherine. And one of the things, and you did get to go on the Jay Leno show, right? Because they have
I didn't get to go on it.
You didn't do that?
No. Hopefully in the future I can, though.
Well, now, wait a minute. They have everyone who gets voted off spins a wheel and gets some kind of a prize, but I guess the top two don't have to. I was actually sort of a leading question. I was wondering if that was a little bit demeaning, but they didn't make you do that.
No, they didn't, I guess it wasn't in my schedule.
Oh, okay. So
Taylor did it, I think.
So your life, literally, during all of American Idol, you kind of have no life. It's almost like you're the president's daughter and a big star.
Yeah. Especially towards the end, because suddenly it's like top five, and they're like all psychotic about us going places, and something's going to happen to you, and it's like... I mean, I thought it was pretty silly, but, you know, it's the rules, and, you know, they just wanted to make sure that their commodity didn't, you know,
nothing happened to you. How do you feel being a media celebrity, a media event yourself, and knowing that your name is everywhere, and everybody wants to talk to you, and everybody's talking to you?
So weird. It's definitely weird for me still. The word celebrity is still really hard for me. I mean, I think a celebrity is someone who's had, you know, something more long-term and had longevity in careers and stuff like that. So I kind of just feel like I'm, for the moment, I'm just riding on something that, you know, I did really well in, but you never know how long it's going to last. So I'm just kind of trying to enjoy the fact that, you know, I get to do cool things now, but I just... You know, you just never know how long it's going to last, and celebrity to me means, you know,
right.
Somebody who's really been in the business for a long time.
That kind of being humble, of course, endears you to people, and they continue to want to help you and stuff. Would you like to have a huge career and just stay famous and totally live the dream?
Yeah, I definitely want to have a huge career, and I definitely want to have, you know, the options of doing, you know, whatever I want to do. That's the ultimate dream, I think, the ultimate goal for most people. As far as being famous, you know, that kind of goes along with the territory. But, you know, I would like to have somewhat of a, you know, a normal life in terms of family. You know, I would definitely want to get married someday and have kids and, you know, take my kids to school and, you know, do like the normal family things. And it's not all just about being famous, for me at least, you know.
The final episode that you were on is the highest rated show since the Super Bowl. It had a lot of stars as well as you and Taylor. Prince did a performance there, and Simon Cowell came out yesterday and basically said, you know, Prince is a head case. Did you get to talk to him at all on the?
No, I don't think anybody really got to see him. I'm pretty sure he dashed in and out, but I think that's what he came there to do, just to perform, and then he left. And the reality of the situation is I don't think we had much time to even see Prince anyway, just because, you know, Taylor and I were, I don't know about the other contestants, but we were rushing to get out of rehearsal, rushing to get in hair and makeup, get on the red carpet for like 10 minutes, run back, get ready for the show. And, you know, we were on stage pretty much the whole time just changing in and out of outfits. So, you know, I really didn't think twice about Prince. And, you know, I mean, he does what he does. And
right. Catherine, I have to tell you, and I don't mean to kiss up to you or anything, but you were my pick from the very beginning, so I was always watching
you.
And we're kind of close in age, and so it was
really
astounded me to watch you stand there and take all the compliments but also take the criticisms with such grace. How do you stand there while Simon Cowell is talking to you and then go and perform?
Well, you mean perform the following week or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the way, you just have to remember, like, it's, well, at least I had to remember that it wasn't personal, you know. One, it's a TV show. They're trying to get ratings. How can Simon top his comments from last week or last season? And, you know, those are always things I thought about. And
wow. Very savvy.
It's a big game, American Idol. And also, you know, I think that a lot of times they were hard on me because they wanted to make me better next week, you know, the following week. And I've had, you know, tough love definitely before from other teachers that I worked with and other programs, like, you know, musical theater programs, acting programs that I've been to. So I've had that kind of experience before. Just the only difference was I was in front of millions of people. So, you know, it's definitely hard. There's definitely moments where you get stung a little bit, but you just have to get right back up and do your thing.
Catherine, Simon alluded to the fact that your mom might be a stage mom, and I know Casey's mom was a stage mom. Casey's mom had her reading news
what?
At the dinner. I know all about
it. Oh, yeah.
Every night she had it. Every
her
story.
Mom brought her to the malls whenever a radio station was broadcasting.
Unbelievable.
Take my daughter. Thanks, guys.
Was there ever a moment that your mom was a stage mom that you kind of wanted to throw in the towel and they wouldn't let you?
Throw in the towel? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it's sometime during your performance. You've been performing a long time. Was there ever a bad performance?
Did you ever sort of want to? He's asking the career question.
First of all, my mom's not a stage mother. My mom has her own dreams and aspirations, and she just wants to be my mom. You know, part of that is actually, you know, my fault in creating that sort of idea about my mom, and I'll admit to that, because, you know, part of American Idol, and I was very aware of it from the very beginning before I was even on the show, is you have to have a story to get on that show.
Mm.
There were a lot of people that I watched on the Green Mile episode that who were more talented than the top 24, way more talented, and I was really furious because I was like, I thought this was a talent competition, and it's really not. It's not always all about talent. In the end, hopefully it comes down to talent, but I mean, as you can see that the past season, there was a lot of personalities, and you know, and I knew that going into the show, that if I, you know, kind of heightened something that is already sort of there. I mean, my mom is definitely obviously involved with, like, my music and has always been there every step of the way. And definitely, I mean, it's like a normal mother-daughter relationship has gotten on my nerves and told her she needs to back off and stuff like that. But I kind of just heightened that that whole, you know, story of me and my mom, and it was kind of like worked out to be an okay story, you know.
Sure. You spin,
teacher and blah, blah, blah. And so obviously Simon is just going to go off of what the information I've already told him. It's just the way it worked out.
You spin your own story to make people talk about you. That's part of the game. It's like being
definitely
on Survivor.
Part of the game, yeah,
absolutely. So the one thing, though, that I think that people admire about the show, and the one thing you have to have to succeed, is you have to perform under unbelievable pressure
yeah.
in a situation where most people would just collapse and freak out. And I think mm-hmm. that's what people like, is they see you as one of them because you're not a star yet,
right.
and they see you on stage and unbelievable pressure, and do you pull it off or don't you? And
right.
you have that. What is that magical quality, and how could other people have it?
Oh, I have that.
You do?
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that a lot of it has to do with the experience that I've had. I mean, I definitely have, although we were amateurs coming into, that's throwing me off, the music behind.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's you. If we're bringing you up under you. Isn't that, like, amazing?
I can't think when I'm hearing myself sing because it makes me really like, I don't want to hear that.
Okay, I'll back it off so you can finish because I know we're out of time.
But, I mean, I definitely worked professionally before American Idol. You know, I've had experience, but, I mean, I cracked under the pressure. I mean, there were times, you know, the cameras are not there all the time. And there were times, like, after the dress rehearsal, I would, like, call my friend and be like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, you know. I mean, you just have to kind of go through it the way, you know, just go through the motions and, you know, whatever feelings come up, you deal with them, and then you just, the show must go on. You know,
Catherine,
you get on stage and you do it.
Catherine McPhee in New York, congratulations.
Thank you.
And a great career to you.
Thank you.
We'll be watching. I mean, they help them out a lot by having all those big background singers and all the horn section, a big drummer. Yeah. Joe, could you picture yourself with, like, background singers like that?
I could hum a little or something. But
that's all it would take, and they make a star out of you, baby.
You just get the Jew harp there out there, or the kazoo or something.
Cowbell, baby.